hold up your sword and let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my life, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Again, give God Wednesday night shout. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, worship you. Open your Bible tonight, would you, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And you know, I believe, really, I really do, that this summer is going to be unusual for you. You know, here we are, right past Memorial Weekend. I know, Saturday or Friday, June 1st, Friday, I think. We're going into the summer. And I just want you to believe God for big things this summer. Will you do that for your pastor? I just want you just to believe God that this summer is going to be unusual, that God's going to take you up higher, that God's going to stretch you, that God's going to challenge you, God's going to take you places you've never, ever been in your entire life. Are you ready for all of that? You know, those of you that understand what CrossFit is, that's, you know, gyms, you know, all over the world called CrossFit gyms, and people go there to work out, get stronger, right? Amen. And so, you know, every year on Memorial Day, they do a workout called Murph. Every year on Memorial Day, they do a workout in that tribe of CrossFitters all over the world. They do a workout called Murph. And Murph is named after a Navy SEAL. His last name was Murphy, a Navy SEAL. He was killed in battle, a Navy SEAL. So in honor of this Navy SEAL who laid his life down for you and me, these people who work out in this tribe, this culture, this group called CrossFit, they do a workout in his honor. The workout is 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, you run a mile. Then you come back and do 300 squats. Then you run a mile. That's what I did Monday. Now, I didn't do that for that. It's an illustration, okay? Is that, you know, I know I'm going to work out Monday. Okay, we were with Mecki and Ricky and our team from Puerto Rico. We were down there, had the honor of being in their community and their conference, and we ministered there this last weekend. And we get back, you know, Sunday night, and Daniel, my son, for those of you who are my new friend tonight, he's my personal coach trainer. He said, Dad, now tomorrow we're working out on Memorial Day before we have picnic. We're working out. Okay, Daniel, no problemo. We're going to work out. Yes, sir. You know, Memorial Day. So I get there to his gym. He has it at his house. And he's writing this up on the wall. I said, what's that? He said, Dad, this is Murph. I said, Daniel, this is a 64-year young dude right here. And he said, no, Dad, you can do this. Talking about challenging us this summer. So, no, Dad, you can do this. 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups. You run a mile, you come back, 300 squats, and you run another mile? He said, you can do this, Dad. I said, I don't know. You can do this, Dad. What was he doing? Challenging me. He was challenging me. And to God be the glory. Seriously, I did it. 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 2 miles, 300. Now, we give God the glory. Amen. There's no way. But what I want to say is I didn't think I could do it. I had never done that. I never done that. Even when I was in high school on the boxing team, the boxing club, I never did that. You know, when Isaac Bruce was here with us, remember when he came one Christmas, Isaac Bruce, he told me, he said, Pastor, I couldn't do one pull-up until I went to a CrossFit gym. Isaac Bruce. I said, Isaac, you're encouraging me. You're encouraging me. If you couldn't do a pull-up, I don't feel so bad. That was several years ago. But what I'm saying is this. Is Daniel challenged me to do something I had never done before. And by God's grace and strength only, I did something I'd never done in my entire life. Stronger now than when I was in high school. Okay, you know, what is that? God's grace and mercy, right? Well, take that. I always like the natural world and the spiritual world. So let's take that in the spiritual world. God's going to take you places you never thought you could go. God, the Holy Spirit's challenging us to come up higher, step up higher, go closer, go further, yeah, go deeper in God this summer. Amen? So by the end of the summer, we're going to look back and say, that was the best summer of my life. Can we say it now? This will be the best summer of my life. Oh, come on, Wednesday night, praise. Come on, let's thank God now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I believe it with all my heart in Jesus' name. Now, we're talking about the brand new series. We launch it tonight, How to Fulfill God's Will for Your Life. Now, we did a survey. Y'all remember the survey now? And y'all asked for it. And you said the second most, number one was how to deal with difficult people. Now we know how to do that, right? We spent a whole month on how to deal with difficult people. The second most requested series I teach on from our church was how to know God's will for your life. So I want to do that next on how to know, how to fulfill God's will for your life. Now, if you're a note taker, get ready because I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures up front. And then we're going to build a case on how when you walk in your calling, you live out your purpose. When you walk in your calling, you live out your purpose. Everybody say, calling is connected to my purpose. When you walk in your calling, you live out your purpose. If you and I miss our calling, we will live unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and unhappy. If you and I miss our calling, we miss our purpose, because our purpose is connected to our calling. When we walk, I sure love y'all. I love Wednesday night. When we walk in our calling, we fulfill our purpose. We live out our purpose. Everyone say it. Calling, calling, calling is connected to my purpose. Are you all with me, church? And if we miss it, and seriously, most people miss their calling. Didn't he say that wide is the way and many go there? Narrow is the way and few go there. Didn't Jesus say that? Aren't those the words of Jesus? That wide is the way, many go there. That's missing God's calling. Narrow is the way, few go there. That's walking in your calling and living out your purpose. So most people miss their calling and don't live out their purpose. That's why when you get them all alone, away from their friends, away from the parties, all by themselves, they're unsatisfied, they're unfulfilled, and they're unhappy. Well, I want everybody I pastor satisfied, fulfilled, and I want you happy. Amen. Is that okay? I want you satisfied, fulfilled, and I want you happy. Okay, now everybody has a calling from God on their life. Everybody has a calling from God on their life. If I miss it, again, I'll live unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and unhappy. But if I walk out my calling, I live out my purpose, and I'll have a satisfied, fulfilled, and happy life. Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about this whole month. Does it sound okay to everybody? You look up the word call, and it means assignment. So everybody has a call from God in their life. Every person God created, God called them. God actually called them before he created them, right? Before you were in your mother's womb, God called you. So God called you, then he created you. So every person, all of God's creation, doesn't matter what age we are tonight, doesn't matter our background, our education, our color, doesn't matter, we all have a calling from God. So, this is huge, don't live like you are an accident. You might have had accidental parents, but your birth was not accidental. You might have had accidental parents, but your birth was not accidental. So if we were born on purpose with a calling and a purpose, we are not an accident. We're not a mistake. We are not an accident. We are not an accident. We are not a mistake. So let's don't live like a mistake. Let's don't live with a poor self-image. Let's don't live like an accident. Let's don't live inferior. Let's don't live with a poor self-image. Like the young man going to our university, let's find out who we are in Christ. He said he wanted to discover his new identity in Christ. What say ye? Amen. So when we walk out our calling or walk in our calling, we live out our purpose. So tonight, I'm going to share with you some mind-blowing scriptures. Now, I know in some churches, it's 3 points, 3 scriptures, 2 stories, you're in and you're out. Well, you're in and you're out, but you get about 10 scriptures and 7 points from this guy right here. Is that okay? So I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures, and I want you to let the scriptures to speak to you. You get me out of the picture, and God's word is talking to you tonight. And then I'm going to give you 7 points on how to get in the process of discovering God's call in your life. Because when you walk out your call, you live out your purpose. Everyone is called. You were called before you were created. You are not an accident, so don't live like one. Don't live dysfunctional. Don't live with a poor self-image. Don't live feeling inferior. You are God's masterpiece. Are y'all ready? Okay, this is so good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I want you to notice the words here, called and purpose. Called and purpose. Can you say it with me? Called and purpose. So when you walk in your calling, you live out your purpose. You're satisfied, fulfilled, and happy. And we know. So we need to know this, right? We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but with knowledge, it delivers you out of your trouble. So we know that in all things. I like it in the New International Version because it says in, not for. It says in. He says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those, not for everybody, right, church? Not for every Christian, not for everybody. There's a prerequisite here. There's a premise before the promise. I have to meet the condition. So in everything, God didn't cause it to happen, bad things, but in the bad things. God didn't bring the bad things, but in the bad things, because bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Life hurts, right? So we all go through seasons, but we need to know this, that God didn't do it, but God will work in it, through it, and with it. God didn't do it, but God will work in it, with it, and through it. God didn't do it, but God will work in it, through it, and with it. And who he works it for? Those who love him and those who have been what? Called according to their parents' purpose, friends' purpose, peers' purpose, religion's purpose, church's purpose, committee's purpose, aunt's purpose. No, they don't call us. God has called us, right? So who does God work in all things? Everything good, bad, and ugly, God turns it into really good stuff for those who love him and those who are walking in their calling, living out not my purpose, but God's dream for my life. Amen? So notice, in everything you're going through tonight, the good, the bad, the ugly, and we all go through it, if we love God and if we are walking in our calling, are you walking in his calling? If you're walking in his calling, you are living out his purpose for your life. He said, I'll turn everything around for your good. So we need to know our calling, right, church? And we need to walk in our calling and celebrate our calling and not compare our calling with other people and not compete with other people's calling, but celebrate our own calling on our life. So say with me, I have a calling from God. I'm going to walk in that calling and I'm going to live out God's plan, God's purpose, God's dream, God's assignment in my life. Ooh, I can hear the force of that tonight. Romans 8 and verse 30. Okay, we're going to build now. And those he predestinated, what did he do? He also called them. Predestination means he has a plan for your life before you were born. Has a plan for your life. He has a prearranged plan. Few people walk in God's plan for their life. Most people miss God's will for their life. Most people settle for less than God's best. Okay? It's in the scriptures, it's in the Word of God, and we see it all around us. Okay? So he said, those that he predestined their life, predestined destiny, predestiny for destiny. Before you were created, God called you with a plan, a purpose, a calling. He also called, and those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. The word I want you to pull out of there is, you have a calling from God on your life. Okay? All right, next verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. My prayer is that light will flood your hearts and you will understand the what? The hope. Everybody say hope. The hope given to you when God chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings. Notice when God chose you, that means when God called you. So notice when you walk in your calling, you're walking in hope. A person who understands they're called by God, walking in that calling, it gives them hope. It gives them a future. And when you have hope in the future, you have power over the present. Hope in the future gives you power over the present. And those that he called and those that are walking in that calling have a revelation of that calling. They are walking also in hope. Everybody say hope. Say my calling is connected to my hope. Wow. So he says, when God called you, then you will discover the glorious blessings. Once you get a revelation and you understand God called you, not only do you walk in supernatural hope in a hopeless world, but then it releases what? All these blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. There are blessings attached to your calling. Your callings are attached to blessings. Oh, I like that. And your calling is attached to a hope-filled life. Amen. People who know why they're here and what they're to do here never commit suicide. They have hope. Amen. People who know why they're here and are walking in why they're here, walking in their calling, living out their purpose, have down days, but they don't stay down 4 days. Ooh. They have down days, but they don't stay down 4 days. They encourage themselves in the Lord, and they know they're called, and they know they have a purpose, and it gives them hope. And when you walk in that calling, God releases blessings on your life. Now, can I just summarize that right there? God's calling is not bad. God's calling is good. It's attached to blessing. Where are you going, Pastor? Some people don't want to yield to that calling of God because they're afraid it's going to be bad. God's going to ask them to do something they don't want to do. You know, I remember when Kim and I were at Southwestern University in Dallas, Texas. And some of you heard this story. You know, Kim and I lived in the married dorms on campus. We had no air conditioning. It gets hot in Texas in the summer. And we were going to summer school. And we'd open the windows in the marriage dorms. And one day I was laying there on the couch, had the windows open. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating. The door was open. Scorpion just walked through the door. They like to walk in and out of the house. Scorpions down there, you know. So I was watching shooted out the door, laid back down on the couch. I'm getting ready to go to work. I work at Kerr Jar Company, Dallas, Texas, full-time, going to full-time school. I'm getting ready to go to work. I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I hear this voice that says, go to Africa. Go to Africa. I jumped up, and it was one of our friends next door living, was outside my window, whispering over the window, go to Africa. Well, you know what? If God wanted to send me to Africa, he would have given me the desire to go to Africa. I want you to see that God's calling is not bad. God's calling is attached to blessings. in your life. If you miss his calling, you'll miss those blessings. Amen, church? Okay, next verse, verse 19. I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It is the same wonderful power he used. What does that mean? For whatever God calls you to do, God equips you for it. For whatever God calls you to do, and you're walking in that hope, and you're attached to those blessings are chasing you down, God empowers you. He gives you an anointing for the assignment. He gives you an anointing for the assignment. He gives you power for the purpose. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, next verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Here's what it says. He saved us, and then what did he do? Called us. He saved us. Y'all see the scripture? Let it talk to you now. He saved us. I'm building. I'm giving you scriptures. I'm going to give you 7 points real quick in just a moment how to get in the process. Okay? So he saved us and he called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done. So God's calling on our life is a gift. It's a gift. It's not a curse. The calling of God is a gift. It's not a curse. It's by grace. We don't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't predetermine it. We don't determine it. We discover it. Boy, I hope you're with me tonight. Are you with me? I feel you're with me. Amen. So notice, he saved us not to sit and soak and sour, but he saved us with a calling to a holy life, a purpose. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own what? So we're not called to do our thing. We're called to do his thing. We're not called to do our purpose. We're called to do his purpose. We were created by him and for him. We're not here to do our thing. We're here to do his thing. So we walk out our calling and we fulfill his purpose for our life. What's plastered above our drinking fountains? Help people discover that God is for them and that God has a purpose for their life. You know, one of the staff, one of the dream team was telling me today, there's a new family, and they were talking to them this last weekend. And this is their third weekend, last weekend, holiday weekend at our church. And they said, you know, we're still checking out Church on the Rock, and we're checking out other churches, and we're church shopping. But they said, you know, we're wanting to know what is the values and the purpose and the mission of Church on the Rock. We'd like to know where it's going. Aren't you glad that a staff person could tell them where we're going and what our mission and what our purpose is and why we're here? It's to do what I'm doing tonight. I am so blessed tonight because I'm doing what I was created to do. Help you discover God's purpose for your life. Amen, church. So he saved us. He called us to live a holy life. And not because of anything we've done. So God's calling on our life is a gift. It's not a curse. It's attached to blessings. It's not things we don't want to do or be afraid to do. It's attached to good things. And then he goes on to say, because of his own purpose and his grace, this grace was given to us in Christ before the beginning of time. What does that tell me? I'm not an accident. So I'm not going to live like an accident. You're not an accident. So don't live like an accident. Don't live like a mistake. Don't look down on yourself. Don't self-sabotage your own life. Start believing in the God that's in you. Start believing in the you who God created you to be. In fact, I double dog dare you. Here's a takeaway right here. Instead of making a to-do list, make a to-be list. Instead of a to-do list, now that's important, and I do that every day. I journal every day. I make a to-do list every day. But you know what? More than a to-do list, we need to make a to-be list. You know, it's more important, the who, instead of the do. Now, you should have just got set free right there. You know, I just want to know God's will. Why don't you work on who God wants you to be, and then in his own time, he'll let you know what it is he wants you to do with your life. Say it with me. The who comes before the do. You thought I was talking about hair cream, didn't you? Praise the Lord. All right. So we're still building. You okay with me? Oh, this is a good one right here. Romans 9, verse 11. Look at this. Romans 9, verse 11. Let's all read this one. This is so long, I need your help, okay? 1, 2, 3. Oh my goodness. God wanted to call you. That's why he called you. He called you. He chose you for to live out his purpose in this life. Isn't that amazing? That's such amazing. I just want you to let the scriptures, I'm just throwing them out. I want the seed to fall on good ground than it is. I want you to begin to see what the scriptures are building here, that everybody has a call from God on their life. If I miss it, when I'm all by myself, I'm going to feel all alone, unfulfilled, unsatisfied, unhappy. But if I discover it, find it, and fulfill it, I'm going to be satisfied, fulfilled, and happy. But I got to walk in my calling before I'll ever live out my purpose. I want to know what my purpose is. Your purpose is attached to your calling, not your career. I just throw that out. Calling and career. I thought my career was my calling. Uh-uh. Your career can change. Your calling never will. Your career can change. Your calling never will. I was talking to a senior citizen the other day in their 80s, and they were in the ministry. And they were talking to me, and I said to this person, I said, in the ministry, in his 80s, I said, you know, I just want to encourage you because, you know what, you're in your 80s, and they were kind of feeling a little bit, you know, like they weren't relative anymore and relevant anymore, and they were kind of washed away and they didn't have a voice anymore. I said, I want to tell you something. You can retire from a career, but you can never retire from a calling. You can retire from a career, but you can never retire from a calling. A calling is permanent. We'll talk about that this weekend. All right, next verse, Ephesians, what's this hustle on down here? Galatians 1, verse 15. Let's go there, guys. Galatians 1, verse 15. But even before I was born, this is Paul, what God do? I can't hear you. Oh, my goodness, Pastor. You know, Pastor, if you only knew what I've done. You know, I don't even know what you've done. I know what I've done. You know what I'm saying? This is the Apostle Paul. Do you know he was a terrorist? The Apostle Paul was a terrorist. Did you know the Apostle Paul would pull Christians out of their homes and kill them and murder them? The Apostle Paul was a murderer. He was a terrorist. He was zealous for everything opposite of God. But yet God said he had a call on his life before he was ever born. And everything he did not erase that call. The call is permanent. And when you and I walk in our calling, we live out God's purpose. Amen? And everybody has a calling on their life from God. So the Apostle Paul says, even before I was born, God chose me and God called me. How, Paul? Did you work for it? Did you earn it? Was it a curse? No, it was a gift. And God gave it to me out of his grace. And then it pleased him. Don't you love the word of God? Just little by little. Let me give you one more. I got more than one more. You know that, right? But Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Look what this says. I am in prison. I am in prison because I what? Belong to the Lord. This is the Apostle Paul, right? He's writing to the church at Ephesus. He's in prison. He's in jail, right? He says, I'm in prison because I belong to the Lord. Therefore, I urge you who have been what? It's another term for being called. Those of you that have been called by God to live up. Ooh, to live up. What we say about this summer is going to be different. God's going to challenge us to do things we've never done before. We didn't think we could do them, but God believes in us. Like Daniel believed that his dad could do 100 push-ups, 200 push-ups, 100 pull-ups, 300 squats, 2 miles. Remember what the temperature was Memorial Day? 97 degrees when I was doing that. Do you remember that? I didn't think I could. My son saw something in me I didn't see. God sees things in you you don't even see. How about we live up to our calling this summer? How about we go where we've never been before, feel God, experience God, taste God, touch God like we've never had before in our entire life? So Paul says, well, why don't you live up to the life? Church on the Rock, why don't we live up to the life? Not what our culture says about us. Not what different groups say about us. Not what our pastor, our peers, or our community say about us, but the life that God has called us to live. Why don't we live up to that life? It's an abundant life. It's a victorious life. It's an overcoming life. It's an adventurous life. Amen, church. So again, one more time, team's coming out. I'm in prison because I belong to the Lord. Therefore, I encourage you who have been called by God to live up, live up. Go up. The Jeffersons, moving on up. Live up to the life which God has called you to live. Don't let society or culture, the crowd, your problems or pressure or people put you in a box. Don't let anybody tell you you can't if God said you could. So what's the process, Pastor? How do I get started? What's the process? Seven things. You ready? Remember, we're talking about if we walk out our calling, we live out God's purpose for our life. If we do that, we'll live satisfied, fulfilled, and happy. Will it be easy? No. Will it be challenging? Yeah. Will it be difficult? Yes, siree, bob, bub, bubba. It will. But you know what? The life God's called you to live up to is worth it. It's worth everything. This, you know, next month I'm talking about fight the good fight of faith. That was the next thing you guys asked for. Okay, in July, how do you handle spiritual warfare and when life's overwhelming? That's going to be fight the good fight of faith. In September, I'm going to talk about the next thing you asked for was how to raise kids, how to raise a family, how to build a strong family in an ungodly culture. That's September, going back to school. But until September, why don't we accept the challenge from the Apostle Paul in prison saying, if he called you, if God called you, and I established tonight, God called you. If God called you, live up to that calling. Nothing less. Settle for nothing less. What's the process, Pastor? Seven things. Number one, you can't know your calling until you first come to the one who called you. So you got to come to God. Wow. Number two, they all start with, I worked hard on this, you guys. They all start with letter C. Is that all right? We can remember them better that way, amen? And then what do? Once we come to God, this is how you find God's will for your life. Then once we come to God, then we got to work on getting close to God. And like Kim said tonight, she wants to be closer to God tomorrow. I know you do too, right? Wednesday night, I know you guys want to get closer tomorrow than you are today. Amen? So you come to God, and then what do you start doing? Well, I just want to know God's will. No, you don't. You want to know God. No, I want to know God's destiny. No, you don't, because you don't have the depth to handle the breadth of your calling. You got to have the depth before you have the breadth. I feel called to impact millions of people. Okay, you might, but before you impact them, you got to go deep in God, because you're going to need depth to handle the breadth of the pressure that's going to come your way. I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. No, you just want to know God. Am I helping somebody? So you come to God, and then you start working on every day till you die or Jesus comes back, and he is coming back real soon. You get close to God. Then number three, God begins to work on your character. God cares more about our character than our comfort. God cares more about the to-be list than the to-do list. Well, I just didn't get everything done today. Well, you know, I hardly ever get everything done on my to-do list, but I really want to work on that to-be list. Y'all remember the who comes before the... I don't know, guys, this isn't working over here. The who comes before the... Okay. All right. Then we're going to deal with this whole month. I'm telling you what we're going to talk about, then we're going to talk about it. We're going to remind you what we talked about the last week of June. Okay. So character, God's going to work on our character. Then number four, then while we're allowing God to work on our character with brother and sister sandpaper in our life, and you know why you get married, right? Where you're made to work on your character. Lenoa's going to have a witness in the front row. Man, Lenoa's, and Gene's a blessed man. Gene's in Belize tonight, right, Lenoa's? Lenoa's let Gene go to Belize on vacation with their daughter and be blessed. Isn't that sweet of her to do that? Amen. So why do you get married? To let your mate work on your character. That didn't go over really good. 45 years of marriage, I can, amen. All right, praise God. So during, while God's working on a character, what happens? Your calling, you begin to discover your calling. But notice your calling doesn't come until after you got to come to God. Got to get close to God. Got to let God work on your character. No, I want to know what, I want to do all these things. But can you handle repercussions of the things you do for Christ? The pressure, the stress, the test, the people, the culture. You got to have depth to handle the breadth of your calling. Amen. So it goes on to say your calling is discovered. Number five. Then what? I have to then commit my life to the calling. Because if I walk out my calling, then I live out my purpose. Then I'm satisfied, fulfilled, and I'm happy. I have hope. And what? Blessings are attached to our calling. God's calling is a gift. And number two, God's calling is good. All right? And then, so once I commit my life to my calling, wow. Then number six, then God connects me to a church community. You know, I got to make sure I get to this point. I got to make sure I'm not a lone ranger. I'm not church hopping. I'm not church shopping. You know, I ain't say it, but you need one church. That's your church home. Okay. What if I said, Kim, it's good to see you tonight. Wonderful. But I'm going over to the subdivision to my other house. Ron would have to come and help me. Help me. I mean, you know, people think, well, we go to three different churches. Do you have three different homes? Three different families? I don't think so. So what does it mean by this? Is I really got to get committed to a local church. I can't fulfill my calling without you. I cannot fulfill my calling without being connected. I cannot fulfill my calling without being connected to other people in a church community. I need other people to fulfill my calling. We need one another, don't we? And then number seven, do we have a seven? Yeah. Then now I can run my course and fulfill it. I found God's will, and I'm running my race, and I'm fulfilling God's will for my life. But notice, I can't run my race until I have depth. I have a solid foundation.